flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know talent wins in this league. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win if you have talent, but if you don't have enough talent, you can't go anywhere. That's just the reality. So the question, you know, we have to ask ourselves, and Mike and the front office have to ask themselves, is do we have enough talent?
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
But it's actually Grandy in for Dibs today. And that was a good question you asked him.
Thank you.
He didn't say that. Yeah. I said that.
I don't think that counts.
But it was a good question because you got a definitive answer. Talent or locker room? Locker room or talent? Talent.
Give me the talent, please.
I'll take Jimmy Butler for 1,000, please. And no, that's not specifically what he's saying, but I will tell you this. This is my number one observation. Listening to Steve Kerr for 20 minutes on 95.7 The Game. Your calls are welcome at 888-957-9570. Win of the year last night, but is it a repeatable act? Is that now the Warriors? How do you see it? Because Steve even said a couple times, you see something like last night, and you have the urge to just be like, yo, leave us alone.
That's a great team. You just beat the best team in the West.
We can do that. Then let's keep rolling. But Steve knows that, like, that's not life. That's not life. There's no... I mean, you could apply last night, I think, to almost anything. Any one of us experiences this. When you go out there and you have your best day, or you go out there and the party you throw is the best party, or you play golf and you hit a 300-yard drive, or you go bowling and you bowl a perfect game, or you... drive, and that day there's no traffic. It ain't happening again tomorrow.
Don't get your hopes up.
It's not going to go that way tomorrow.
You're just setting yourself up to be disappointed.
I get home, and the kids are like, hi, Dad, how was work? We made dinner for you, and we would like to sit around in a circle and talk with one another about our day and not fight.
We missed you so much.
That ain't happening again tomorrow. It might never happen again. So, I feel like Steve feels that way. And my, this is just a gut instinct. He didn't say this with words. But his energy, to me, sounded very much like a team that is about to part with some very dear friends. That's what he sounded like to me.
And the dear friends are probably most likely Kevon Looney and or Gary Payton II.
Andrew Wiggins
and maybe
also.
Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah. And I don't think he's, again, this is my gut instinct. And I don't know if it's all of them or one of them or two of them or whatever. But all of his answers, I thought, pointed in the direction of A, we need more talent. B, offense matters more this year than I thought it did. And we're short on that end of the spectrum. C, yes, the players are really, really kind of going through it right now. This is hard. This is hard in our locker room.
And they're part of this organization and have been for years. I mean, and are all beloved.
These are champions. These are champions.
And Kevon Looney missed the first championship, but essentially is like part of the Steph, Clay, and Dre core.
Exactly. And Gary Payton was one of the MVPs of the most recent parade, and Andrew Wiggins was an all-star that year.
And Looney had an incredible playoffs that year, too.
Unbelievable. So he sounds to me like a guy, who knows, that the Warriors have arrived at a time where they have got to do something that emotionally they don't want to do. That's what he sounded like to me today.
He did seem a little bit somber coming off of a best win of the season.
Well, I mean, maybe it was the subject matter that we're talking about.
Maybe.
But that was just the way he answered a lot of those questions suggests to me that if you're asked, like, it's sort of the question of the day, right? Okay, you saw what you saw last night. Now what? What does that do to you emotionally? And I really wonder that for all Warrior fans. Do you come out of last night and do you go, okay, this is the Warriors now. Let's do this. Did you see they showed y'all what they can do? Or do you come out of this and go, hold on a sec, now we got a winning record. Now we're tied for the 10 seed. We're three games out of the 6 seed. All the more reason that you got to go for this. Well, and go for this does not mean standing pat, because we've watched this for 47 games, and they very rarely look like that.
And to be fair, we watched it last year, too. But it's so funny how we react to wins and losses, because you can say, like, the Celtics loss when they got blown out,
yep.
All right? They lose by 40 at home to defending NBA champions. On one hand, you can say, well, clearly this team isn't good enough. They need to make moves and infuse this team with more talent for them to have a shot. On the other hand, something that you've pointed out this week, you kind of have to earn the right to make a trade. So if you lose by 40 to one of the best teams in the league, what's the point of even making a move? So you can have two opposite reactions to the same game. And the very same thing can happen on a win like last night. Oh, they won. This is a really good team. They beat the best team in the West. They don't need a move. Or it could be what you just said. Hey, maybe they're only a move or two secondary moves away from legitimately making noise in the Western Conference. So you can go whichever direction you want based on whatever the result is, which is odd. Usually we have like a general consensus. I don't know what the general consensus is. For me, I'm not overreacting to just one game. I'm looking at the larger sample, and the larger sample suggests this team ain't good enough and they need to make a move.
I'm telling you, man, our guys over at The Athletic who cover the Warriors so tightly, I'm such a huge fan of both of them, Anthony Slater and Marcus Thompson.
The best.
These are phenomenal writers. They're phenomenal broadcasters, and they are tapped the heck in. That's not to say anything about the others. They were Monty Poole, all the whole group, right? They're a really, really good group. I say that to point out, and this is a game y'all can play if you want, when you go, wherever you go to get that content, if you go to Twitter, for example, Tim Kawakami's another one who, like, when I read what they're saying, sometimes I'm like, you're telling me what's about to happen, aren't you?
You know something. You're not flat out saying it.
You can't say it yet because, A, you can't burst the bubble. You can't mess with your sources. Plus, it hasn't happened yet. You're not 100% sure it's going to happen, but I can tell what you think is about to happen. Marcus Thompson wrote 6 hours ago, "This trade deadline could cost the Warriors significant pieces of its culture and identity. In a benchmark win over OKC, those pieces, Kevon Looney, Andrew Wiggins, and Gary Payton II, revealed why losing them will hurt." Now, I didn't see the word "if" anywhere in there. Anybody hear the word "if"?
I didn't hear it.
Revealed why losing them will hurt. Now, it's not, that doesn't mean this, that, or the other is done. But I believe, pair that with what Anthony said yesterday, and the fact that, you know, what Anthony, I think, has really said a lot lately is Kuminga's off the table. They're not trading Jonathan Kuminga. But here's the group from which they may choose. And it's those three guys, maybe a Schroeder, throw in those names like that, maybe a Kyle Anderson. And that is the bucket from which the Warriors are working. And it just feels to me, when I hear what Anthony said, when I read what Marcus just wrote, and I listen to what Steve Kerr just said to us, it feels to me as a fan like I am being prepped for just that. Sorry, this sucks. We love these guys. It's going to hurt like hell. But when you talk about maximizing Steph, we don't have enough talent, and we have to do this. I don't even know what this is, but I'm convinced that they all agree that they got to do it.
Yeah, and you could maybe ask yourself, well, if they feel this way about Wiggins and about GP2 and about Looney, why would they even, like, why not trade somebody else? And it's just very simple NBA, CBA, and the way that teams do math. If you're going to bring in a big contract, you need to send out big money. Wiggins is the biggest non-Steph Curry contract. And what else is valuable for teams that aren't great and are trying to get off of money? Expiring contracts. Who has expiring contracts? Kevon Looney and Gary Payton II. It's not as if the Warriors are eager to trade these dudes. It's just the reality of how you make a trade work in today's NBA. It's big money and it's expiring deals. Those three all fit that bill.
Okay. Knockout tournament details in a moment. Knockout tournament situation, like we're going to be giving out another spot here in less than an hour. Keyword is less than an hour away. Be with us at 4 o'clock. You got to be with us at 4 o'clock if you want to win your way in. Safety on roads and freeways starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians check fluids, wipers, lights, tires, and more while you stay in your vehicle. Locations, coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. So here's the deal. 888-957-9570. Last night was about as much fun as Warrior fans have had all year. But do you feel like that is a repeatable act? And the extended question is, what did last night make you want to do? Did it make you want to go, that's my Warriors? Or did the opposite come true? Hey, we got a winning record now. That legitimizes that this group centered around Steph Curry can do something if you help it. So let's take your calls and answer that. Did you feel like that was a repeatable act? Did it make you want to trade more or less? 888-957-9570 is the number, and we will take your calls next. Grandy's in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs.
To Anderson, shot clock at 9. Got to make something happen here. Pajemski, guarded by Joe, backs up, wants to go one-on-one with 3, with 2, backs up, takes a jumper, it's good! It's a 2, and it's 102-97. Talk about confidence, he's got 11. Schroeder fakes, drives on Dort, passes back out to Kyle. 5 on the clock, got to go. Slow-mo, cut off by Hartenstein, spins, fadeaway, jumper, left wing, good! Wow! Just wow! Timeout Thunder! Everybody rocking and rolling here at Chase Center as they roar their approval. Golden State has a 6-point lead with 4:04 to go on the Warriors Radio Network. 106-103. Inside 2 minutes. Steve Kerr gets a play call in. Curry off a screen by Schroeder. Takes a deep 3. Good! Doubles the Warrior advantage just like that. Curry's got 21.
There's no question when you see a game like last night, the temptation is, man, like, let's just keep going like this. And why would we do anything? But you can't just look at one game or two games. You've got to look at the full picture. And that's what Mike and his staff are doing.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, BP. I'll tell you what, the Tommy laugh was my favorite part of all that. Slow-mo knocks that in, he's just like, that's all you need to know. He's just like, oh, tonight's one of those nights.
We spent so much time talking about how just the Warriors as a team needed that last night. I think Tim Roy needed that last night.
Tim Roy.
Get some excitement.
Man, you're right. But I'm going to go back to your first statement. We all did.
I mean, we all did.
I mean, they dumped a bucket of water on Steve Kerr's head. And he was not taking the ice bucket challenge. They were just happy. That's it. They were just happy. I love that he shared that story, by the way. If y'all weren't with us when Steve first came on, because Steph Curry shared the story last night, that they dumped water all over his head.
Basically just saying, you got to celebrate and bring some joy in the locker room.
He's like, small victories matter too, was like the message. But Steve shared that this was actually going back to the game against Utah, where he walked in after the win and everyone's just on their phone. And he's like, dude, you guys, like, don't even look up at me. We just won a game. He referenced the Arizona game where there was the half-court shot. It was actually longer than half-court. Yep. To tie the game, and they win in overtime, and the coach got the shower.
Tommy Lloyd,
after the game, he's like, "Why don't you guys do that?" And then, lo and behold, the very next night, they beat the OKC Thunder, and so the players remembered his request, and they gave it to him.
Steve Kerr willed that win into existence because he wanted the shower of water after the game.
Okay, more on all of this in a second, because Bob Myers was on with Steiny and Goose, said something that I think is super relevant to each and every one of you listening to us right now. Grandy in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs, very, very thankful that you're here. We do want to remind you one more time, as we have been so much, the knockout tournament. And I want to take a moment, because I've gotten this question a few times. I know there's a handful out of you out there who are like, I'm sorry, what is knockout? So check it out, right? Like, I don't think y'all know. Do y'all know what knockout is? So the knockout tournament at Chase Center, knockout is a game where you all line up starting at the free throw line. Some people do it top of the key. But anyway, we're going to do it at the free throw line. So you line up at the free throw line, and when the person in front of you shoots, as soon as they release the ball, the person behind that person can shoot.
You got to wait for it to hit the rim, don't you?
Yeah, different rules. I let once someone lets it fly, I'm letting it fly. Once they release it, I figure you can go. But the bottom line is if the person, you can go rebound your own shot, you got to get the ball in the bucket before the person behind you does. If the person behind you does, you're out. You're out. And so the crowd gets whittled down, all the way down to when there's a champion. And last year, it was the man I'm talking to right now.
Yep.
Yes, sir. So we will play that. But the other part of it is we go shoot hoops on the Chase Center floor.
Yeah, we had a good, 45 minutes or an hour before the tournament even started last year.
So, and that, for me, I think for a lot of you listening, is probably the even bigger deal. It would be fun to dethrone Mark Grandy as knockout champ. But the bottom line
is, don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up. But the bottom line is if you win this prize, you get to go ball on the Chase Center floor and look around at those 20,000 seats and just soak that in. And it really is. It's a moment. It's a moment. We did it last year, and it's crazy. So we invite each and every one of you who are listening to try to win your way in. And we know a lot of you have been trying, and we got a lot more chances for you. Today is your 12th chance out of 45. So that'll happen in the 4 o'clock hour, and it happens every single day for this week, next week, and the week after, three times a day, 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour. So coming up here in just over a half hour, we'll give you a keyword, and then we will tell you what to do with that keyword so that you have a chance to win your way in. All you got to know right now is make sure you're with us at 4, and if you're with us right now, just stay here till 4. What the hell is it that you got to do where you can't have people talking at you, right? So That's the knockout tournament, and another spot is coming up here in less than an hour. We will start that process. So, knockout tournament coming up, and there's that piece of it. Now, here's the other thing, and I want y'all to listen closely to this. And it's a little surprising to me that more people, once we heard this from Bob Myers, haven't been almost overwhelmingly flooding the airwaves of 95.7 The Game. Do you all understand this? The former general manager of the Warriors literally admitted to you that you
have the power,
have a say in what the Warriors do at a time like this. So he was asked, when you have a few games leading up to when you have a few games leading up to the trade deadline, how much does that start to sway opinion? Take a listen.
It does. It probably changes it more than it should. You have to temper that, though. You have to look at the body of work and say, how real is this? The issue, though, what you're saying is you have to stop. You say you win four in a row before the deadline, or win three in a row. You have to kind of push back on that and go, okay, that was just three games out of 48. Let's just pause a little bit. But it's hard to do that sometimes.
Okay, so there's Bob Myers admitting that the games leading up to the deadline, maybe, as he put it, matter more than they should. And then listen to this, the mindset of a GM the week before the deadline.
It's pretty rough. I mean, it's much more than maybe the public realizes. You know, this isn't like you woke up 2 days before the deadline and decided to make a trade. I can tell you about the Wiggins one we did. It's pretty exhausting from the standpoint of just running out a ton of ground balls. I mean, most of the stuff you discuss in detail, you don't end up doing, or you'll move forward, you'll get to the 10-yard line with another team, and they'll just pull out and say they got a better deal somewhere else, or they'll change the deal, or something will happen. A guy will sprain his ankle, the deal's off. Somebody's medicals will come back negatively. But every time you go through it, you learn something, and you learn about your peers. You learn who you can trust. You learn about your own group. Some people in the group are more aggressive, some more conservative. Ultimately, it's Joe's team. It's his call. And I accepted that, and that's what every organization operates under, is it's the owner's team.
Okay, so throughout all of this, Bob has and is admitting that GMs very much, they put these reports out there because they are trying to gauge public opinion. And I do think that's why a lot of us hear what we hear. Part of it is the game that teams are playing with each other. They're trying to create more leverage and fear and all of that. Oh, if you don't up your offer, someone else is going to jump in. But they put these reports out there because they want to know what fans and media are going to say. And I don't know about you, but the first place my mind went was, well, whatever it is you all would like the Warriors to do, I would start trumpeting it as loud as possible. You've got a week. Your assignment is in front of you.
Less than a week now.
Yep.
3.5 hours less than a week. Noon next Thursday is the trade deadline. Not so much time to figure this thing out.
And you're in the shadow of the win of the year. So like, what did last night do to you? What did it do to how you're feeling? I can only speak for me in an odd way. There's two things that happened. One, I enjoyed that game as much as any game I've watched all year. It's not the only time they've beaten OKC. They beat Boston, all of these things. But that one was high, high level on the entertainment meter for me. But I was going, even more so, you got to make a move. You've got to make a move, because this team is showing you that there is still something there, but I know that it's not enough if just left to its own devices night in and night out the rest of the way.
Yeah, last night didn't really change much for me, but I've always very strongly been in the camp of do something, and do something, maybe that kind of borders irresponsible. I know that's not necessarily the right thing to say, but I've always just been in the camp, do something. Steph Curry and this team needs it. If you're a little concerned, still pull the trigger. It is worth taking that risk to try to make something out of the end of Steph Curry's career. Because clearly for me, Willard, and I think you agree, and I think Steve Kerr would agree, Last night is not something that we see this Warrior team do that often. And you can be totally impressed by all the individual players in last night's game, as you should be. Wiggins was amazing. Absolutely incredible. That was a career game for Kevon Looney. You know he's never scored more points in a regular season game than he did last night?
Nope.
Never. In his entire regular season career, he scored 21 in one playoff game against the Mavericks in the 2022 Western Conference Finals, part of the incredible postseason run that he had. GP2 had not scored 15 points in a game since October of 2023. Yep. It's been a year and a half, the last time that GP2 scored as many points as he did last night. Some of the individual buckets that we're talking about. The Brandon Pajemski step back deep two, foot on the line on the right wing in the fourth quarter. The most inefficient shot in basketball, by the way, a deep two. He made it. I'm not expecting Pajemski, even though he's playing great, to make that shot very often. And then the slow-mo fadeaway from beyond the left elbow at the end of a shot clock. I'm not sure I've seen him ever make that shot in his career. He probably has. I'm not sure I've ever seen it. So to expect that the Warriors are going to be able to pull out performances like that ever again, let alone on any kind of consistent basis to climb up the Western Conference standings, is absolute lunacy to me. It was great to see it, and it's awesome, and it's an important win, but you cannot count on that really ever again, honestly. You hope that you can, but I don't think you possibly can, which is why you've got to seriously consider making the tough decision and maybe get rid of somebody, not to get rid of them, but to try to bring somebody else in here to change things up.
Yeah, 888-957-9570 on last night's signature win and how it affects the way you view the currency of Golden State Warrior basketball. One more from Bob Myers with Steiny and Goo earlier today on the process of trying to make a trade.
It's not perfect. I mean, you just do the best you can. You try to placate all the powers in your organization. Clearly for me, you'd loop in staff, you'd loop in the key stakeholders, and then you do what you do. And sometimes it's nothing. But when I remember when we were doing a Iguodala's deal, and that was a free agent deal, it wasn't a trade deal, and I remember going through it and thinking to myself, this isn't going to happen. We're not going to get him, and no one cares. So to come on the radio the next day, for me to see you guys at the bar, I know you guys. I might say, guys, we had a lot of stuff going. And at the very end, I mean, just couldn't get there. You might have some empathy, but the general public doesn't care.
Right.
They just say you didn't get a deal done. So you suck. And why didn't you do it? So there's part of it. But, you know, you get paid a lot of money, and that's part of the deal. That's part of the job.
I love that answer. I love that answer. I would never ask a fan to keep all of that or take all of that into account. But it does register in my head, like, and it happens every year, especially in baseball, for example.
No doubt. Yeah.
Every year you'll hear this. Wow, how idiotic is it that the Giants didn't trade Blake Snell at the trade deadline? Well, how do you know that they weren't an inch away? How do you know that they didn't try five different ways? How do you know that it just didn't come together at the end, with, and especially in the NBA, where salaries need to match and this and that and agents and years left and all of these things.
You got me in the NBA. I'm not giving the Farhan era Giants any.
No, forget that. But I'm talking about every time. Like whether it's Madison Bumgarner, Blake Snell or anything. Like I don't think you ever go into any trade deadline, any sport, and think to yourselves, we must deal this person. No matter what. Unless you got a Jimmy Butler situation. And even then, I'd be open to, look, if literally all someone wants to throw us is shoelaces, then we're not doing it. We'll just kick the can down the road and we'll keep playing hardball. But I don't think it's a good position to go in and say, must trade this person no matter what we're getting offered.
You don't want to go into a trade situation from a position of desperation, because then you're bound to get beat in whatever the deal is.
No doubt.
But there's also a difference in saying, well, you know, open to trading this guy. Maybe we were fielding calls, but we weren't like actively trying to make something happen. Like, you can still actively try to make something happen, even if you feel like there might not be something real out there. You still got to go and put in the work and make sure that something, make sure you've covered all your bases. You don't just say, well, no one called us about Andrew Wiggins, so I guess we're not trading Andrew Wiggins.
For sure. For sure. Always due diligence. But I just, it feels almost like a lot of the people in the Warrior organization all year long have been trying to sell the idea trades are hard. And I mean, we've got that clip from Joe Lacob that gets played all day long here on 95.7. Oh, trades are hard. And okay, I'll believe you. And, you know, I've heard Bonte share the story from Grant Lifman, who told him once he now joined, used to be in the NBC Sports Bay Area, and now he's with the Atlanta Hawks in the front office, and he told him it was like his, the number one eye-opener is how unbelievable it is to make a trade, like how long the process is, how arduous it is. And so it feels like the NBA is selling us that, and especially in Warrior Land, because everyone's been sitting here thinking for so long, big game hunting, nothing happens. And it's,
well,
it
doesn't
mean they're not like literally on the doorstep of doing something.
Most of us only ever see the finished product.
The final thing. Totally.
We don't see any of the work that went into that one trade, which, by the way, let's say the Warriors make a trade before the Thursday deadline, whether it is Zach LaVine or Nikola Vucevic or Jimmy Butler or Cam Johnson or something even smaller that we're not really thinking of. Just that trade, I'm sure, took like 25 phone calls with the opposing general manager,
easy.
At least, over the course of like the last month and a half.
Bob Myers just called it exhausting. That was his word.
And that's,
it's exhausting.
And that's for one potential deal.
Yep.
And they have their hands in so many different things. If they're not, they're not doing their due diligence.
Right.
Due diligence, and that's what Bob Myers said. That's, you know, you get paid a good amount of money to do it, and it's part of the job. It's why you do it. But we only ever see the finished product, and we have no clue how much effort goes into it. I'm sure Mike Dunleavy hasn't gotten 8 hours of sleep in a very long time.
Amen.
Very
Amen.
Long time.
Yeah,
because it's been pretty clear for a while this team is not as good as they need to be. And yes, they're trying, even if, I mean, they made a trade for Schroeder.
Exactly.
Clearly,
they
tried already.
Yeah, literally the second that they could do it, they did it. Let's go to the phones, 888-957-9570. Austin in San Jose. Hi, Austin. Thanks for calling.
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you, Willard, and always, Randy. Listen, last night was great, man. I think I'm with Randy. It doesn't change my opinion about the fact that we should be moving forward with some additions and making the team better. I think the body of work over the, what, we got 45 games or more in, I think that's a better statement about what the team is. I don't know, guys. I kind of feel like I was watching the body language. I don't know if you guys, other than a few dunks and, you know, there being some times when the team seemed together, I noticed there seemed to be a lot of guys that were working as individuals to me. You know, some of the shots that were taken seemed to be shots guys were getting for themselves. I get the sense that guys were almost auditioning. Guys were displaying their talent. I think the team guys know who might be on the move. I don't think these teams, to your point, they don't come to these decisions all in one day. I think they've already, I would go so far to say, I think they've already probably got some decisions made already, guys. I don't know what you think, but I think there's something going on. I think the fans will be much disappointed if nothing happens. That's my take. I don't think the Warrior fans in general are going to be pleased if nothing happens at trade deadline.
Austin,
that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks very much. And hi to your dog. I in total agreement that if the answer is nothing, that most Warrior fans will feel disappointed.
I'll feel disappointed.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with that. I don't think that I agree with the idea that I saw some sort of like shot hunting or me mentality in that basketball game last night. Guys were looking to audition. I don't think the players on the Warriors want to go. I don't think they want to go anywhere, number one. And number two, I thought that that last night was just a beautiful second half of basketball. Like, literally beautiful, beautiful team basketball. It was just, that's the other thing, buddy. It wasn't a game. It was a half. Like, they got beat by double digits in the first half.
Yeah.
Like, it was one half of beautiful basketball, but that's what it was.
Honestly,
it was one half.
Being down 10 at half felt like a minor miracle.
Totally.
Like, it felt like they should have been down by 25.
They were on blowout alert.
Yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt. Can I read you a quote from Kevon Looney last night?
Fire away.
This is in the Marcus Thompson piece on The Athletic. Great piece. You already referenced it. Here is Looney asked about the approaching trade deadline. Quote, yeah, I want to stay. I know what the game is. I've been here long enough. My locker mates changed a lot of times. It might be my time. Who knows? That's the NBA. I definitely will not be sleeping that night whenever that time is for the trade deadline. I'm going to be up. Sounds like somebody who wants to stay a Golden State Warrior.
Yes, and sounds
and is
like,
not auditioning for anybody else.
No, but he also sounds like somebody who knows that his name might get called.
There's a possibility.
Look, yes. I think in the NBA, if you're not a star and you're in the final year of your contract, this is February. That's February. So that's Schroeder, that's Looney, that's GP2. Final year of their contract. Your expiring deal, and you are not a star. Like, that's the deal. So they totally know what's potentially coming here a week from today.
One more, really quick. Andrew Wiggins, quote from the same story, Marcus Thompson on The Athletic. It's Wiggins, so it's a little less than Kevon Looney, naturally. Wiggins says, again, asked about the same thing, the trade deadline, quote, being in the league long enough, you know in the back of your head nothing is promised.
Fair enough. That sounds very Andrew.
It does.
Yeah. A little less warm and fuzzy.
Yes.
Although, you know, Andrew has put on different jerseys. Kevon never has. So that's different as well. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We'll keep going with your phone calls. Nate, you'll be first up. 888-957-9570. We're going to keep it Warriors, and we're heading real quick toward the knockout tournament keyword. But also coming up next, and we will spend less than 5 minutes on it, but I want to get it out there. This Niner rumor is fresh.
Did I miss something?
And it is juicy.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
What did I got to
so
go on Twitter. What's
this,
going on?
This is coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, y'all. Back to the phones in a second. And keyword for the knockout spot just over 10 minutes away.
Coming up.
Okay. For those of you who are new or just tuned in, when I say the knockout spot, the spot in our knockout tournament on the Chase Center floor, just make sure you keep listening. Coming up early in the 4 p.m. hour, we will give you a keyword, tell you what to do with that keyword that will potentially lead to you being on the Chase Center floor with us on March 3rd playing knockout. What you laughing at?
Someone on the text line, the 510, actually it's one of our loyal listeners, Zucci Main. Talking about the knockout tournament, says, choose one of the 20,000 seats, Grandy, because you're going to be sitting in one early in this tourney.
Oh,
I'm coming for you.
We've got text line knockout tournament trash talk. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Yeah, I would bet a lot of money on the field.
Oh, that's a smart bet.
Just letting you know.
Yeah.
Letting you know. Guru would probably pick you again.
And he would just do even odds, straight up.
Even odds, yep. Even though it's going to be you against 50 other people. Like, you don't win 50-person knockout tournaments twice in a row.
You don't know me.
You don't do that, unless you literally will never miss a free throw.
I might not.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phones. I do want to play this because it's pretty freaking juicy. And I know some of you are going to roll your eyes and say this is just a guy spitballing. But I do think there's more to it than that. He is now the general manager, if you will, of the North Carolina Tar Heels. I know they don't usually call that in college, but that's what he is. He's working with Bill Belichick in North Carolina. He used to do it with the Patriots, Michael Lombardi. He is a big-time NFL voice and is a former exec and understands how the cap all works. And he very, very, very firmly believes that T. Higgins will no longer be with the Cincinnati Bengals. He is a free agent, and he was franchise tagged last year. So, with all of that likelihood, the question around T was, is he someone's one? Or is his production sort of tied to the presence of Ja'Marr Chase? So that's where the conversation on the Pat McAfee show started.
Okay.
And then listen to where it goes.
I think he is certainly a dynamic player. And I think if he goes to the right team where he is, let's call him a one, where he also has inside slot receiver or a tight end, then I think he becomes a player. Because remember, when you have Chase on the field, everybody's rolling the coverage or trying to double him some way. Now, they did a good job in Cincinnati this year, motioning him, keeping him away from double teams. But I think T's really talented. And I think T can go somewhere and be a really good player. You put T Higgins on a team like the 49ers, my Lord. You know, he could end up shining because they've got other players around him. And then he looks really good. But Brandon Ayuk would be even better with someone like T or Debo or someone there.
Okay, do you hear the little breathy noises that Pat starts making when he says T Higgins and 49ers? That's what I'm doing too. That is an absolute mouth breather because that would be a total game changer. And before you say, oh, Brock Purdy's deal and cap space and this, that. Stop it. Stop it. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. There's absolutely a way. Yes, they can. And let me be one of the first to say, yes, they should. And I'll tell you why more. But what's your reaction to that idea? Just hearing those two names in the same sentence.
Well, specifically this year, they can make it work.
Yes.
This coming year.
Yep.
Because Brock Purdy's contract won't even kick in until the following year. Of course, you want as many good players as you possibly can have on your team. And T. Higgins is a darn good player. I don't know about having three major contracts on your roster to wide receivers. Debo, Ayuk, and T. Higgins. That seems like kind of a bloated area of the roster.
Sure.
And this just feels like a guy bringing up the Niners as a team where he would fit well. I don't think there's any, like, am I missing something? Is there any actual reason to believe that the Niners are interested and the team might be interested and
well,
that might happen?
I mean, you're not going to get that at this time of year, first of all. I don't personally listen to that and think that he's just throwing that out willy-nilly. I mean, as if he was saying, because the Niners are good, I mean, they went 6-11, and he could have picked any team, and he could have picked any quarterback to pair T. Higgins with. I think that Michael Lombardi, knowing the way he does what he does, there was a reason that he said that name. That doesn't mean that it's a full-blown, like, they're going to have that conversation, because that's not Michael's decision. But my point is that A, I find it interesting that he brought the two names up together, and B, I think that this has been an under-discussed thing this offseason because the 49ers receiver core, as expensive as it is not in the shape that it needs to be to start this year. It's just flat out not. And contractually, Debo Samuel, if he's back with the Niners this year, I would argue it's likely to be his last year. I know we said that last year, but Debo is not, I don't think he's long for the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk is not going to be ready for the start of the year and is a question mark. Ricky Pearsall, interesting, love him, but we're about four games into seeing what that even looks like. I think it's a position room that needs to be addressed, and the draft is not the place to do it.
I think it's a position room that could be addressed, and there's a lot of other position rooms that should be addressed first. I'll put it that way.
Oh, for sure.
But I think
you can do both.
Okay. Let's just put it this way. If signing T. Higgins keeps you from turning your offensive line from below average to better than average,
then that's enough.
Or your defensive line the same thing, or maybe keeps you from trying to bring in another cornerback or whatever, safety's probably the bigger one than cornerback, then I'm out. If that keeps you from doing those other things.
Understood, and I would believe that it would not. And I've been taught this lesson repeatedly every offseason. When there is at least the good NFL teams, the teams who I think do a good job on the cap, not the New York Giants, not the Dallas Cowboys, the teams that know what they're doing, and I think the Niners are one of those. I've been taught this lesson repeatedly when we go into off seasons. Oh, they don't have space, and there's this contract, and there's that contract. They're fine. You can manipulate it however you want. You can make it work if you really prioritize it. No question in my mind. None.
Okay, sure. Let's just go get every star player then.
No. I mean, you can't have them all. But if you want to target a few things, yes. Yes. there is space.
Would T. Higgins make the Niners a better football team? Yes, of course he would.
Okay.
Well, but there's other ways to also make your football team good.
Well, you're Mr. Make the Team Better.
You've been saying
it about the Warriors
of
all
course.
Week. Okay.
But offensive line and defensive line,
of course.
More important.
Not like, I look at this as kind of like when you go to the buffet. You like stay tonight in a hotel that's got a free breakfast, or like, you know, do people still go to Sizzler? you know, like you go to Sizzler, you don't go to Sizzler anymore. Anyway, whatever. You get my point.
Yeah.
Like, we're not using the word or, we're using the word and.
Oh, I'll go back in line like two or three times.
Yes.
Fill up my plate, go back through.
Hey, Mark, do you want steak or chicken? Stop with the or. And.
Please.
I want a center and a safety and a wide receiver and a defensive tackle.
Well, I want a center. I want a left guard. I want a right tackle.
Yeah.
And then I want a left tackle in waiting.
I want a wide receiver, too. I want a wide receiver. They're not ready. They're not ready.
Sounds to me like maybe you're not a big believer in Brock Purdy if you need all these wide receivers.
Good Lord, here we go.
I knew that would get you.
Yeah, it sure did. All right, let's get back to last night's Warrior game and sort of how that made you feel with regard to their current abilities, but also what exactly it means for next week. Did it make you want to trade more? Did it make you want to trade less? Nate in the city. Hi, Nate. Thanks for calling.
Granny man. Willie man.
What's up?
Great combo. Well, first of all, I want to talk Warriors, but on the T. Higgins tip, that dude is amazing. He's got size. He can go up and grab a ball. He's got great hands. The problem is we need other types of receivers. I mean, on the Niners, who does that sound like to you? Big body, can go up and compete for a catch.
Jawan?
Jordan Jawan, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
but if they're comparison, if they're comparable, then I would argue Jawan Jennings is, and I mean this like firmly, this is the best thing you could say about Jawan, and I love him. He's a poor man's T. Higgins. T is
he might have proven
good.
You wrong last year with a couple of those games.
No, he's fantastic. He's fantastic. But I just think T. Higgins is all the things you want, all the things you want is, but he's even an even better man beater. How about that?
Oh, agree. Yeah, yeah. But I think as far as the Bengals, I think they got enough room to sign him. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm gonna bet against that. But anyway, go ahead, Nate. What did you want to say about the Dubs?
On the Warriors, it was a fantastic game. I really love watching SGA. But I think the real test is when, Larry Lurch, Hollow Man, the paper thin Terrapin, when Chet Holmgren comes back into the picture. Cause I think they were really hurting last night for that second option and, had a good game from a couple of the other players, but they really need that second guy on that team. They're a great defensive team. But I just want to bring up one quick thing. Everybody who was referring to Mr. Kevon Looney and Gary Payton II as salary filler. And that game last night, I think, puts all that to rest. I'm a big fan of both of those guys. I definitely don't want them traded. But I think if we're